Back together, you and I, on Monday, January 31st, 2022, wrapping up another month on Connecticut. Today, we spoke with Italian-American Defense League President Matthew Guarnieri on a recent controversy in Guilford regarding Columbus Day. Quinnipiac University Communications Professor Rich Handley talked about the legacy of Tom Brady that goes beyond American football. Finally, me, yours truly, well, I had some thoughts on the reluctance of some politicians still to talk about the problem of repeat criminal offenders. There is a group known as the Italian American Defense League. You can check them out online at iadlnow.org. iadlnow.org. And joining us right now is an area educator, a public school educator in Guilford, and president of the Italian American Defense League. Matt Guarnieri joins us, and there was a little bit of a controversy. You may remember seeing this in the news, didn't get too much coverage, of again revolving, even though we're past the celebration this year, revolving around Christopher Columbus and Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day and all that. And we welcome Matthew Guarnieri to the show. Hey, Matt, it's Paul here at WICC. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on your show.
Matt, appreciate it. Go ahead. If you can speak up a little bit, your connection's a little thin out there. Talk about your organization, please.
Yes. The Italian American Defense League is a non-brick-and-mortar Italian American group, and we're a nonprofit here in the state of Connecticut. Our mission is to promote education, portray Italians positively, and to preserve traditions. We also want to help young Italians to create a new Italian American identity as we move forward. There is one tradition we want to continue to celebrate, and Italian-Americans and all Americans deserve to celebrate, and that is Columbus Day.
Talk about, Matt, what happened. Now, you're an educator in the Guilford school system, and something happened last month on January 10th, and your group, you and your group, not happy with that. Talk a little about that. Tell my listeners what's going on here, the dynamic in play.
On January 10th, the Guilford Board of Education adopted a new school calendar, and they attached Indigenous Peoples Day to Columbus Day. Now, they'll say that they want to let families enjoy the holiday as they please based on their beliefs. But I say this decision is pitting families against each other and forcing students and families to have to choose between celebrating Columbus Day or celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day. And this is a false dichotomy that we shouldn't be forced into. Both Italian Americans and Indigenous people both deserve their own days. There is a group called the Native American Guardians Association, a rank-and-file Native American group, that they're not under the leadership of tribal councils, and they actually believe, they believe what we believe. There should be a culture of mutual respect. Native Americans have the day after Thanksgiving as Native American Day. The United Nations declared World Indigenous Peoples Day in August, and there's also a Native American Day in September, not to mention that all of the month of November is Native American History and Heritage Month. So why do you have to go to the one day that has historically been there to honor Italian American immigrants and all immigrants in the United States and take it away from us?
Now, Matt, you say that decision was made without any involvement or from council with Italian-American groups. So you and your group and other like-minded Italian-Americans and folks even on the other side of the debate here, are you saying this was just done out of hand with no consultation to anyone?
You know, absolutely correct. I watched the November 8th meeting, the December 13th meeting where the school calendar was discussed, and the January 10th meeting. They talked about every other change that was on the calendar except attaching Indigenous Peoples Day to Columbus Day. There were 0 minutes to the discussion. This is in stark contrast to last year when the district spent a year-long process to change the Guilford Indians mascot to the Guilford Grizzlies. They brought in experts on the subject from the University of Connecticut. They had people speaking from Yale. They had outside consultants. They had surveys, and they asked for feedback. Italian Americans, we were not given the same respect on the holiday that is so meaningful to us. In the past week, the district has received communications from the Italian American One Voice Coalition, UNICO, the Italian American Alliance National, the Order Sons and Daughters of Italy in America, the Italian American Alliance Connecticut, the American Italian Women of Greater New Haven, Philly Italia International, and they refuse to meet with us. You see, what we could have going on here is what so many citizens in Guilford were worried about during the election. They were worried that the Guilford Board of Education was an activist board of education. And that issue came up during the election. And, you know, revisionism, historical revisionism, is actually legitimate. You find a new document, you study it, you figure out how it fits into history. Mm-hmm. But political revisionism is not legitimate.
Matt, hang on just a second. I want to get back into that. I got a break here. Matt, we'll get back into this. And Matt, when we come back, I want to ask you, you know, the question that you probably are hearing all over the place. Hey, what's the big deal? We read about Columbus. He wasn't the wonderful guy everybody makes him out to be. We'll get your response to that and your group's response to that. Matt Guarnieri is the guest, a public school educator in Guilford, president of the Italian American Defense League. And Matt and his group not happy that the Guilford Board of Education and the superintendent there arbitrarily, this group says, adopted a school calendar back on January 10th, changing the name of Columbus Day to Columbus Day / Indigenous People's Day. More with Matt coming up. First, traffic and weather together right here on WICC. Talking about another controversy here as it pops up pretty much continuously now. Usually peaks around Columbus Day, but it happens all year in several areas, particularly in the Northeast. Matthew Guarnieri is the guest. He's a public school educator in Guilford. He heads the Italian American Defense League. Matt and the folks associated with him not happy that back in January, the Guilford Board of Ed arbitrarily adopted a school calendar change of the name of Columbus Day to Columbus Day Indigenous People's Day. So, Matt, let me play devil's advocate here because I'm sure you have heard this over and over again. They're going to say, come on, Matt, what's the big deal? Italians have a big place in society. We all know that. Columbus wasn't the warm, fuzzy guy everybody makes him out to be. So, Matt, when you hear that, what is your response?
Yeah, I even had that question asked by my own union president. When I contacted her, instead of responding to me, she sent an email out to one of the other Italian Americans that I contacted, and she said, for the love, why does everyone think they get to weigh in on everything? So now I'm going to answer that question on why Italian Americans think Columbus Day is important. Mm-hmm. Many people don't know that on March 14th, 1891 in New Orleans, 11 Italian immigrants were lynched for a murder they didn't commit. They were all acquitted. It was such a big deal, it gained national attention. And Italy even cut off or threatened to cut off diplomatic relations. President Benjamin Harrison at that time, he saw the importance of bringing Italian Americans in as Americans. And in 1892, on the 400th year anniversary, he proclaimed it Columbus Day. Now, our history goes back to 1892 for Columbus Day, but it didn't stop there. Italian Americans and the connection Columbus Day continue to be affirmed throughout history. As Italian immigrants were facing wage discrimination and other forms of discrimination for being Catholic, and Knights of Columbus formed, and there was anti-Italian sentiment by groups like the American Protective Society. They were fighting to become Americans. And there was the Anti-Immigration Act in 1924 that would restrict immigration because of anti-Italian, anti-immigrant, and anti-Italian sentiment. Also around that time, you would notice there were statues that were going up as a way of saying, we accept you in our communities. One went up in New London in 1928. There were thousands waiting to accept that statue. Is anyone thinking about those Italian Americans who faced so much and were discriminated against? Franklin Roosevelt in 1934 designated Columbus Day a national holiday. And he also designated the designation of enemy aliens in World War II. He removed that in 1942. So many of these celebrations and big events for Italian Americans in history happened when? On Columbus Day.
So, Matt, in the short time we have left here, what do you want to see done here? How do you think this? I know you talked about it earlier, but in about the 30 seconds we have left, Matt Guarnieri, how would you like to see this whole thing addressed?
I would like to see the Guilford Board of Education and the superintendent sit down with representatives of Italian American groups and local citizens to have a discussion about Columbus Day. And in that discussion, I would like to present the historical facts about why this is an important Italian American holiday and why we should be able to have Columbus Day celebrated on its own and have Indigenous Peoples Day or Native American Day on another day. Clearly, we have all of the evidence that Columbus Day is an Italian American holiday that dates back all the way to 1792 when it was first celebrated in the United States. So it connects Italian Americans to the founding. We also have all of the information about Columbus that show that he is the hero that we say he is and not the person who is accused of the sins of the people after him and the governors after him and of the political revisionists who are tarnishing his reputation. We have the facts. They say we have the facts, but we have the facts, and we have to stop political revisionism in education.
Matthew Guarnieri is a public school educator in Guilford, president of the Italian American Defense League. If you want to check that out online, you can. IADLnow.org. IADLnow.org. Matt, good to speak with you. Keep us up to date on this. We'll talk to you down the road. Matt Guarnieri. Matt, thank you. Take care. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
All right, Matthew Guarnieri, agree or disagree, go to the website, check it out, the Italian American Defense League, IADLnow.org. My next guest, a guy you've heard on this show numerous times, one of my go-to guys when it comes to journalism, communications, even sports, and it's safe to say this guy's stuff is not getting pulled down from Spotify. I can guarantee that. I'm talking about Associate Professor of Journalism Rich Hanley, who joins us on WICC. Rich, your stuff is still firmly up at Spotify, right?
Yeah, last I checked, it was there. I don't have any plans to remove it.
to pull down your greatest hits catalog, you're not going to pull that off there, are you?
I need the 37 cents, you know? So.
Yeah, that's another story. Rich, if people just knew how little money people made off these streaming services, it's a crime. It's literally, it's coffee money, literally. But anyway, Rich Hanley here is here, and you've heard him plenty of times on the radio station here. Rich also does something unique. He teaches a college course on football. and the role of football in America, in society, around the world. We're having Rich on because, Rich, in the middle of, maybe World War III in Ukraine, a blizzard we had over the weekend, inflation, people still can't buy stuff. So much of the talk, Rich, this weekend was about the supposed, maybe yes, maybe no, retirement of Tom Brady. And think about it, Rich, and this is why I wanted to have you on. You have the talk here about the retirement. He's not passing away. He hasn't left us. But one guy might retire from something he's been doing 20-plus years, and that's all people could talk about.
Oh, it was amazing how much my phone blew up with notifications. And I did, actually, because of the buzzing. I said, okay, shooting is broken out in Ukraine. But no, it was word from ESPN that Brady was planning to announce his retirement imminently. So it was a World War level of notification burst on my phone to learn that a guy who's been playing ball for 22 years is deciding to hang it up.
Did that surprise you, Rich? Because it's not like the guy's a rookie. Everybody probably, this year, next year, this was his last, next year might be. Were you at all surprised with the level of news that this is generating?
I mean, I wasn't surprised at all because he has been signaling this for weeks. Because the fact that he didn't say he would retire, he didn't say he would come back, suggested that he had been thinking about it. And as the late, great football coach John Madden once said, once you think about retiring, you are retiring. I think the delay in an official announcement is because Brady wants to turn the announcement into a major, major, made for the internet, made for social media event where he can help promote his fitness brand, TB12, and his new fashion brand, labeled Brady. So he's a smart guy. He knows how to capture the attention of people. The week between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl is perfect because you'll have thousands of media looking to write about stuff connected to football, and all of them will write about Brady's announcement when it comes.
Rich, tell the audience a little bit about the course you teach, because at first blush, people might say, a course about football, what's that? But, Rich, we can talk about baseball and boxing and horse racing and the fabric of those classic American sports, but there really is nothing, even historically and through today, like the influence of football in America.
Football is America in all its glories and pathologies. It reflects it in ways that other sports don't, and we covered that in class. Beginning in the 19th century, football latched onto America's soul, and continuing into the 21st, it continues to hold that place. And just look at the TV ratings. They're monstrous. There's nothing that comes close to a football game on TV. I'm just waiting for the Nielsens from yesterday's games, and I suspect they're going to be extraordinary. Norman Mailer, in 1960, wrote about the presidential campaign between Nixon and Kennedy. And in it, he has this line that I use as a theme for the course, that there's the boring, dull, bureaucratic America, and then there's this other America that runs on a subterranean river that's just full of ecstasy and violence. Mm. And that's what football is, the ecstasy of winning, the ecstasy of being a fan. And quite frankly, the violence that takes place on the field. These are men who are colliding with each other at speeds, who get hurt, sometimes suffering lifelong injuries, and so on. So it's a game of territory. It's a game of conquest. It's a game that requires a great deal of will, toughness, and other characteristics that make for a country the size and shape of America.
And, Rich, it reflects, and I'm glad you brought that up, and Rich Hanley, Associate Professor of Journalism at Quinnipiac, is the guest. Rich, you talk about Brady. Brady is a guy who has now been playing for a little longer than a generation, and he's doing this in a situation, Rich, I've always said to people, football, as you say, is so popular because of, I think, the military allusions to it. You have the bomb. You have your offensive strategy, your defensive strategy. You have your, your head coach who's your supreme commander. And then you've got the offense and the defense. I mean, I think that's a lot of it, too. Am I nuts or what?
No. It's interesting. Football didn't start out that way. It started out actually as a psychological import from Britain, in terms of wanting to teach a physical courage in a rules-based environment, in the late 19th century with the great Walter Camp of New Haven. But in the 1890s, Harvard's football coach, Lauren DeLand, came upon the idea that football really was military in nature. And he borrowed the tactics of Napoleon to game plan Harvard's offense and wrote a book with Walter Camp about the military aspects of football. And one of the most important one is the one about morale. It's a rough game. It's a tough game. You got to keep your morale at all times, even when you're losing. And so that one third of football is the will to win. And DeLand and Camp said, well, that's the same in military. And so the military in turn adopted football as a core sport for its various, bases and naval stations around the world. Mm-hmm. So there is this intimate connection between military tactics, and military intellectual wanderings and football that's real. And it's with us today. And there's also religious connotations. If you think about two of the greatest plays in football history are named after religious events, the Immaculate Reception with Franco Harris in Pittsburgh and the Hail Mary with Staubach to Pearson in Minnesota to give Dallas the win. Yeah. So we have this deep, immersion in aspects of American life through football that have gone through the language, that are part of the culture, that everyone knows what you're talking about. So football is who we are, and I'm glad for it. I love the game.
And, Rich, finally back to Brady, and he's eventually going to hang it up. But, Rich, Tom Brady, I think there are parallels now with Tom Brady and the Rolling Stones. I mean, they both kind of say – I think there's less booze with Brady. That's just me. That stuff that Keith Richards drinks, whatever that is. But honestly, Rich, both the Stones and Brady are statements that, hey, we may be old, but we still are pretty good at what we do, and we're not going to just quit because we're a certain age.
Oh, that's right. I think you're absolutely right, Paul. There's an aspect of Brady's career where age isn't really a factor. And what makes the Brady case interesting, it's a very violent sport that requires great agility, dexterity, and other characteristics that tend to deteriorate with age. In his case, by working out, by staying in shape, by eating a healthy diet, et cetera, he's been able to play a game into his mid-40s where most of the players have already retired for 10 or more years, just like the Stones. Mick Jagger can still get out there and prance around the stage. The big difference between Brady and Jagger doesn't have 300-pound guys who run the 40 and 4.9 chasing them around the stage. Brady does.
And you're pretty sure that Keith Richards isn't drinking smoothies, though. I'm guessing there's no protein smoothies there.
I don't think that's part of his,
Rich Hanley. Diet. Yeah, Rich Hanley, Associate Professor of Journalism, Quinnipiac University, on the apparent, now there's a timeout, but likely to come, retirement of Tom Brady. Rich, always good to speak with you, my friend. We'll see you down the road. Thanks.
Let's do it soon, Paul. Good to hear from you.
All right, buddy. We'll see you. Bye-bye. Rich Hanley right here, Associate Professor of Journalism at Quinnipiac. Come on. Tom Brady and the Rolling Stones, it's the same parallel, right? We're old, but we're still kind of getting it done. People still pay millions of dollars to watch us, and we're still pretty good at what we do. I have a question, and this is not rhetorical. It's something I don't understand. And this is one of my, if you can call them a pet peeve, yes, I do have pet peeves. I have stuff that, for whatever reason, drives me crazy. And the stuff that usually drives me crazy is the stuff that seems like it's common sense. And we talk about violence, and we talk about it all over the country. And if you're in a small rural town in a red state or a big blue city in a blue state, there's violence there. And just about everybody, despite the best efforts not to, just about everybody has admitted that violence is up a lot over the past year or so. Now, some people are saying it's all because of COVID. Maybe it is. But if you are becoming a more violent person because of a disease, shame on you. You'll pay for it in the end. Sorry to say that, but you will. But just a short clip here of President Biden earlier today and how he falls back on a crutch here. And there's nothing wrong with this crutch, but it's what at least half of the country never says in this situation. So Mr. Biden today meeting with the National Governors Association at the White House, and he's touting the efforts to, you know, tamp down violence. And we see the violence in the cities all around us, whether it's nationally like New York, Boston, Chicago, L.A., or locally here in the state, Bridgeport, Hartford, New Haven, whatever. And Mr. Biden was asked about gun violence, and this is what he said in part, just one clip, to the nation's governors today.
Including hiring additional police officers and investing in community violence interventions and improving the work in communities.
What? But here's the thing. Now, those are all fine. You can do the interventions, extra cops. I'm all for that. What do we never hear, primarily from those on the left and Democrats? What do we never hear? What do we never hear? We always hear about hiring more cops, which is good. I like that. We always talk about more modern policing. Again, good. Every profession, law, medicine, plumbing, electricity, and policing should, in fact, evolve with the times. You know what I mean? It should stay up with the times, stay up with the modern thinking of all that. But again, what do we never, ever, ever hear of? And it boggles my mind because when you read of crime, how often do you hear police officials say, well, the suspect is known to us, the suspect has a violent rap sheet, a violent criminal record? You never, ever, ever, ever hear about going after the bad guys, the bad gals, and keeping them in prison. I wish there would be, and maybe there is, and maybe I just don't see it. If there is, you let me know. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. What are we doing, if anything? Because I'm at my wit's end here. You see this stuff all the time where whether it's a local carjacking or a local mugging or a murder on all the way up to mass riots in some cities, you see indications once the smoke all clears and the details of the stories come out, you see indications that, you know, these are not, by and large, these are not first-time offenders. So many people that are arrested in and about our state, our cities, Bridgeport, Hartford, and New Haven, how often do we hear the police say, well, this person is known to police? Career criminals. I mean, again, look at the guy who shot and killed those two police officers earlier this month in New York City, in Harlem, responding to a domestic call. Guy's got a rap sheet. Rap sheet going back to the late 90s, early 2000s. But you notice you never, ever, ever, ever hear from at least half of the political class in this country. You never have. Oh, they say, oh, get the guns off the streets. All right, but they always blame the gun. They never blame the person who pulls the trigger. You notice that? They never blame the person who pulls the trigger. I don't know why. You tell me. Are they too afraid? Can I please hear a president? Can I please hear a president that has liberal-leaning left support in the country, a Democratic president? Can I hear one of them? I mean, Bill Clinton used to say this all the time because he understood it. He got it. Can I hear a Democratic president once say, we got to arrest more people? We need to get the bad guys and bad girls off the street. Well, Paul, you can't do that and put more people in prison. Why not? If they're criminals, why not? If they are habitual criminals, we're not talking first-time offender here, a first- or second-time offender, you know, for spraying graffiti somewhere or stealing a candy bar. That's not what I'm talking about. But again, listen, because this popped in my head a few seconds right before I turned the microphone on here. And I hear this, well, we're going to hire more cops, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that. Thank God you're doing that. We're going to do more funding. Again, that's good. That's fine. But you never hear them say, we're going to get tougher on career criminals. because, well, we did that in the 90s and too many people ended up in jail. Well, why'd they end up in jail? Were they selling Boy Scout cookies or Girl Scout cookies? Just to be fair. See, that's another thing in this society. We're too afraid to tell people don't commit crime. Well, you know, there's reasons behind criminality. Yeah, the people are criminals. You know, I'm sorry. I know not everybody is a hardened criminal for what they do. But again, can we just balance out the message? Is that too much to ask for? You never hear at least half of the political spectrum in this country say, you know what, there are too many bad guys and bad girls on the streets. You never hear that. Look at all these high-profile shootings and murders. Come on, how many of them? Okay, not every one of them is a repeat criminal. How many of them are? When they get violent. See, if you're going to arrest somebody two or three times for breaking a window, stealing a car, that's a whole different thing. But if you have, you look at these rap sheets out there, you know, domestic violence, gun possession. And yet the politicians in this country from the top down, at least on one side of the aisle, it's always the gun. Like that idiotic statement Governor Kathy Hochul made in New York a few weeks ago when those two New York officers were killed. An illegal gun killed the officer. No, Governor, I'm sorry. An illegal gun that was used by a criminal. Spell it out. Move your lips, Governor. As to the syllables involved, criminal. Three syllables, not too bad, not too hard. A criminal. Can we please start talking about keeping the bad guys and bad girls off of the streets? Well, you want longer sentences. Yeah, for some people I do. I do. I do. Doesn't mean for everybody, but if you think that's a bad thing, then you explain to me. 203-333-9422. Go right ahead. 333-WICC. Explain to me why we have so many repeat offenders. Why is that? Why is that? Why do we have so many repeat offenders? And it never changes. It never changes. Look at the violence that is perpetrated in the streets and take a look at not all, but many of the perpetrators. And what are the cops? And the cops are mad because, you know, when the cops come out in their news releases that they give to people like me in the media, that they put up on Facebook and all the social media sites, the suspects in the case are well known to police and have a lengthy criminal history. Those are the three magic words. Not I love you, lengthy criminal history.